As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Allison?
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine. It's Halloween week. Do we start early, like with birthdays and we start celebrating?
I mean, in a way, hasn't every day been Halloween?
Don't do that.
What do you mean, don't do that? No,
the thing is, like, I don't maybe like the same things about Halloween that you're supposed to like.
Meaning?
Like, I'm not into the, like, I like it in other people, the dressing up, the costume aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more into, like, the foreboding, which just could be winter coming.
But do you have a favorite horror movie?
Me?
Yeah.
The person who doesn't watch horror movies?
I know, you generally don't like to be scared, and you generally don't watch horror movies, but do you have one that you like?
I guess it depends, like, what qualifies as a horror movie. If, like, I guess there's certain, like, sort of unsettling psychological dramas that maybe would qualify. I don't know.
Make the net as broad as you like.
I'll tell you which one was the first one I saw that scared the bejesus out of me as a child.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Amityville Horror.
Mm.
I already was afraid of dogs. There's a dog component in the Amityville Horror.
I got in trouble as a kid because my sister was reading that book.
Uh-huh.
And I crawled into the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
So she couldn't see me.
Mm-hmm.
I forget if this is before they had the island in the kitchen or if we just had a kitchen table.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, I crawled down low so she couldn't see me. And I started moving the chairs,
mm-hmm.
you know, so they looked like they were moving by themselves. And she screamed at the top of her lungs and I got in trouble. I really don't feel like that's on me. She decided to read the book.
Yeah, and she was gullible enough to think that it was actually like a ghost and not her little brother under the table.
She probably knew I was there. She probably just screamed to get me in trouble.
To get you in trouble, yeah, that seems the most likely scenario. But the blood coming out of the walls and the blood coming out of the toilet. And
yeah. I don't know if I saw it when I was younger, but my mom read the book, and I remember my mom telling me things from the book, like the, was it like a pig boy or something in the window that was like waving at people or something?
There are a few things where people are waving that my sister and I were just like turned into these like mythic things to scare each other with. This might be one of my favorite horror things, and it's not a conventional movie. It's a Saturday morning, like one of those...
like the specials they
like,
had.
Yeah, it wasn't an after-school special.
Yeah, but they had like the Saturday. Movies on Saturday morning. I remember.
Yeah, there was like a special thing for it. And they would do little adaptations of like classic plays, and they would put on new ones. And
there was a couple of those that were really cool.
Yeah, I think I've actually talked about this before because it's... And I watched it, like I think we watched it again on YouTube since I started talking about it again.
Yeah.
The Red Room Riddle. My sister and I would like wave the way this kid waves to this like little, almost like little, I think he's like supposed to be Victorian or Edwardian ghost boy waves to the real kid. We could do that sort of like deadpan face and do the wave to each other and just make each other scream. Like we were just, it's so frightened us. But now, like, I mean, the ironic thing is like, I love red rooms. Like we have a red room in our house, which is probably somewhere in the back of my mind because of that. I love the...
If you cast a broad net, like you could kind of include like the so-called like folk horror stuff. Like you like the Owl Service.
Yeah. I love the Owl Service based on the Alan Gardner book. And I like a lot of, I like those stories where it's sort of like you can't tell whether the horror is just sort of like impending adulthood. Like I love coming of age things generally. So any movie that kind of encompasses that, I would say probably is usually on my list.
Picnic at Hanging Rock. Is that...
It's a horror, kind of generally? A horror, yeah. But I mean, it's just...
What about The Wicker Man, the original?
I do like the original Wicker Man, yep.
Yeah, it's hard to beat that. It's very, very good. Well, the latest patron episode, Return to the Wolfman's Grave. If you're a patron, you got two episodes in a row. If you look at the show numbering and you just get the regular feed and you suddenly it's like, hey, it skipped two episodes or something. Like, I think we're on episode 272 now. And the last regular episode was 269. Like, hey, where did those episodes go? They were patron episodes. And to get all of our episodes, you become a patron at Patreon. Patreon.com/strangefamiliars. You get extra content, two full episodes a month, sometimes more. And you help support the podcast. And without our patrons, we couldn't do Strange Familiars. So we want to thank our patrons. Patreon.com/strangefamiliars. As the patrons heard, all of the parts for The Witch Cloud, which will serve as episode 300, are now in my grubby little paws, which are neither grubby nor little.
That's what all the wolves say.
At some point this week, I think, or early next week, we should be putting up a pre-order for that. It'll be through the Stone Breath Bandcamp. The reason for that is when you purchase it, you will get a download automatically. I think the download won't release until a little bit closer to episode 300, but when it does, you will get a notification from Bandcamp that your download is ready, and you will be able to download, if I did the math right, I think it's over 3 hours of audio content that goes with The Witch Cloud.
So it's more than really one episode. It would be like the...
It's one episode if you're hardcore history, but for Strange Familiars, it's like...
about three and a half.
Yeah, three episodes or more. I wrote a book. It's called The Witch Cloud. It's about some haunted bridges in Gettysburg, but it's so much more than that in the way that Where the Footprints End, I think, is more than just a Bigfoot book. It's a slim volume. It's about 80-some pages, I think, fully illustrated. And the audio for that episode, for episode 300, is basically the audiobook of The Witch Cloud. However, it's not just me reading the book. When I interview people in the book, it'll be, you know, the text of the interview. But in the audio, I actually cut in the actual interview with the people. If I talk about a sound or something on the bridge, if I'm able to, I cut in the sound of the bridge. So it's basically kind of an audiobook combined with an on-site episode, or really multiple on-site episodes, because we made several visits there over the course of over a year's time. And then on October 9th, after Albatwitch Day, Chad and Soraya and I went back to the bridge and recorded basically a whole other follow-up on-site episode. Besides that, you get download of the first Black Happy Day song Tara and I recorded in, I think, over 15 years. It's called Into the Witch Cloud. Get all of that with a download. And it's several versions of that song. I did like a different mixes of it and a solo version that's just me. which is what I sent to her initially after I wrote the song. So you kind of get all these different versions of the Black Happy Day song. And you get all of that content. And that is episode 300. To get it, you will either need to buy edition one, which is hardcover book, a lathe cut record, of which there are only 50. It's a 5-inch square record picture disc. It looks really, really cool. If you're on our Instagram or our Discord or the Strange Familiars Gathering group, you've seen photos of this record. It looks nice. So you get the hardcover book, the lathe cut record, a woven patch that was done especially for this, a vinyl sticker that was done especially for this, a trading card with new artwork on it that's done especially for this. You get all that plus the download of all the audio. Edition two is basically the same thing, less the record, because there's only 50 copies of the record. So that may sell out. And then edition two, you get the patch, the sticker, the book, and the download, of course, with that. And then after all the patches and the stickers and et cetera sell out, that edition, then we will have just an edition that's kind of the book and the download by itself. Or if you don't want all the stuff, you just want the audio download, you'll be able to get that too. We'll put pre-orders up for that. That's coming soon. Keep an eye out on Instagram, on our Discord, in the Strange Familiars Gathering group, on Facebook, and on Patreon. We'll announce that for everybody. If you're a patron, you will get notified when it goes up on Bandcamp before anybody else. We'll let you guys know a day beforehand, and you're going to want to jump on that, though. I think because it goes up on the Stone Breath Bandcamp, anybody who's bought from Stone Breath will also get notifications of that. But we won't put it up on other social media for a day. So if you're a patron, you'll have a day head start to get the record edition. So all of that's coming. As I said on the patron show, patrons will get this episode for free. You're just going to have to wait. You have to wait a year or so, and then we will release the audio to patrons for free. But if you want the record, if you want the episode now, and you want to help support the podcast, it's part of this, all this work that we put into this for, like I said, over a year we've been working on this, was in an effort to kind of have a fundraiser for the podcast and raise some much needed money for us. So you get a really cool package. I think the book looks really nice. I'm super happy with the record. Patch is cool. I'm really happy with this whole package. I'm really excited about it. So you can get episode 300 that way and support the podcast.
I was under the mistaken impression that this would run during the time that the 300th episode would run, and you have informed me that we will go from 299 to 301 and not miss a week, and there will be no vacation.
There will be no vacation.
There will be no vacation.
As far as episode 300 goes. Yeah, so next to impossible to coordinate all of this. You know, like, think of all the parts. You know, there's not one place you can go that'll make a book, a patch, a sticker, a trading card, et cetera. So I had to...
A lathe cut record.
Exactly. I had to source all this stuff from different places and make sure it all comes in.
And have it done well ahead of time.
Yeah, yeah. So
the real episode 300 wouldn't probably be till next year, right? Maybe early next year?
Yeah, probably the way it'll work out. It'll be next year. So, you know, it's just going to come out when it comes out. I think people will probably, if you pre-order the book, I'll probably send the book out and then we'll release the download somewhere after that. So yeah, people will be getting episode 300 chronologically before it's time for 300.
That's only presupposing that we think of time in a linear fashion.
So exactly. Yes. That's a great point. We're breaking people out of their linear time.
Also, that way, if some people get it before other people, it could be because of just like a time skip and not necessarily... Like,
this is absolutely the case. Yes. So it's called The Witch Cloud. It is Strange Familiars episode 300, and we hope you all get it. It's super, super fun and exciting project for me because it combines, as I said, everything I love to do, art, music, writing books, doing the podcast.
Sneaking around at night with your boyfriends.
Yes, exactly. I guess people are wondering what we're going to do on tonight's show, though. And it's going to be more than talking about Patreon and The Witch Cloud, episode 300. We have a really great show tonight. I'm going to be talking to Leanne, who has a story about a Bigfoot with an orb that her son saw. Her son Gabe saw it. And a bunch of synchronicities that surround this sighting. And while I was talking to Leanne, her son Gabe kind of came up and we got to talk to him as well. So it's kind of a little bonus. We get to hear Gabe's story of the encounter. After that, we're going to hear an interview Chad did with Drayden at an on-site thing in Michaux of a, you know, kind of a Class B Bigfoot kind of thing. Chad met him out there and interviewed him. 2 years ago, almost at this point. It's almost been 2 years. But let's go ahead and talk to Leanne.
Tonight we're talking with Leanne, who has a Bigfoot story to share with us that has some associated strangeness with it, which is right up my alley. I like these stories with that combine the strangeness. Now, this all happened in Western Kentucky, right?
Yes.
Can you describe the area where it happened?
Yes. It was in our small subdivision that consists of only one street. And it backs up to a cornfield, corn and beans. Last year, when this happened, it was beans, and that's important. Also, there are two streams that cut through this cornfield or bean field. And the streams are enveloped by woods. So there's like a strip of woods with a stream where this happened.
Okay.
So we've got large bean field and strip of woods with a stream. One night, it was in early July of 2020, my then 11-year-old son, Gabe, had a friend over spending the night because it was summer break and they loved to go fishing. There is a large retainer lake several acres away, maybe about 4 or 5 acres away from the back of our house. And they often go fishing in it. Gabe and his friend were outside fishing in this lake at 1 a.m. I was inside the house. Now, Gabe did not know anything about Sasquatch. He had never heard me speak about Bigfoot. That's just not something I had ever discussed with him. I had been getting into Bigfoot podcast since about April of 2020. When the pandemic hit, I would listen to more podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And I really honed in on the strange ones like yours and some other well-known Bigfoot ones. And I also enjoyed taking in documentaries about Sasquatch. So Gabe and his friend were outside several acres away from our house fishing at 1 o'clock in the morning. I was inside the house, the windows closed, the blinds closed, with my husband sleeping beside me, and he has to get up early and go to work. So I like to watch TV late, but I wear Bluetooth earphones mm-hmm. or headphones.
Mm-hmm.
So no one knew what I was watching. No one could hear anything going on. So I was watching a show about Bigfoot. Do you want me to say what the show was?
It's fine.
I was watching an episode of Expedition Bigfoot.
Okay.
And it was the season where Dr. Maria, well, now her last name has lost me, has slipped my mind. But anyway, if anyone has watched the show, they'll know who I'm talking about. She's the skeptical scientist on their team. She had just seen something out in the woods that she described as red glowing eyes and with a globe of light or an orb of light. So I had just watched that scene. And a minute or two went by, I guess, and suddenly I hear bang, 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 bang on our bedroom door. And this really upset me because my husband is laying here asleep and I don't want him being disturbed.
Right,
He has to get up at 5 o'clock. So instead of yelling to answer. I just texted Gabe. I said, Gabe, what are you doing? You can't wake up Daddy. And he said, Mom, I saw something. I said, what did you see? This is on text. He said, I don't know. It was big. And it looked like it had red glowing eyes.
Oh, my goodness.
And it looked like it was, and it looked like it was carrying something. I've got chills right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, hold on just a second. Go upstairs to your room. I'll come up there. So we end the text conversation, and I go upstairs to his room, and he and his friend are, they're just lit up with excitement. They're shaking. They're telling me all about this. I said, Gabe, what did you see? I don't understand what you're talking about. He said, I don't know. It was against the woods or walking alongside the woods. It was big and it was walking and it had red glowing eyes and it looked like it was carrying like a light.
Huh.
So I was like, okay. And I didn't tell them yet that I had just been watching a show that described exactly this or right. almost exactly right. almost exactly this. So his friend said maybe it was just a person walking, and Gabe is a really serious personality type. He said, if you think that was a person, you're crazy. And he said, also, what about the red eyes and the light? I said, well, tell me more about this light. What do you mean? He said, it looked like it was carrying a light, like a globe. He didn't use the word globe or orb because he doesn't have that vocabulary.
Right, right.
But he said it looked like it was carrying like a bright white light. And he said they got out their phones. They were going to try to get a video of it. And by the time they tried to get the video of it, it just disintegrated. It was going along as they were watching it. And it was a little bit see-through-ish. And then it just, like, I would describe it as depixelated.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like it just disintegrated. How they came to see it, I forgot this part. They were fishing, and his friend saw it first and said, what's that? And then they looked and they stood up and both saw it together, but his friend actually saw it first. I think that's a strange synchronicity.
Oh, heck
yes. If anybody wants to call in or to you and share what they think that might have been. I was in the house watching this show, and then my son and his friend see unfold what I was watching on the show.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
So we get Bigfoot reports, right? And we occasionally get Bigfoot reports with orbs, but yeah, it would be one thing if he just said, I saw something, you know, and it had red eyes or something like that. But to have that detail of the orb or the, you know, whatever it was carrying with it is truly bizarre. I mean, that's... So when he tells you this, I imagine you're stunned because, you know, he obviously has no idea that you were watching this on TV.
Right. Yes. I think I just stood there with my mouth open for a little while, and then I said, okay, you guys are not even going to believe this, but I was watching a show that had on it what you just described, and they were surprised. I think they needed time to process it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think after a little while after that, I had to process it too. I just went down and went to bed. They had left all their fishing stuff outside because after they tried to get a picture or a video of it and it disappeared, they hightailed it into the house. Mm-hmm. And that's when they, you know, banged on, risked waking Daddy up banging on the door. And now I don't blame them.
Right, right.
There's another slight aside to this. Sometime after this happened, I had been going through all the Netflix and all the Roku shows trying to find good Bigfoot documentaries. And I turned on one that featured Stan Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here comes chills again. Featured Stan Gordon describing something that someone had told him about that happened in the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
And then they reenacted this for the show. And what they did was, it was these two teenage girls. They saw a Sasquatch come out of the woods, and it was holding an orb or a globe of light.
Yes. I know the account. Yes.
Yes. I rewound it and recorded it to show Gabe later. But I ordered the t-shirts of yours that feature that. There's like a, maybe you were basing your drawing off this, or maybe other people have also described them carrying an orb.
Mm-hmm.
For a little while before they change forms or disappear or cloak or whatever they do.
Yeah.
But I got both of them. I got myself one too. I got us all matching shirts with that because we shared this experience.
Right, right.
You know, I just now remembered something else. The next day, I tried to get Gabe to show me where this was. And, you know, he pointed and showed me. And I went for a walk by myself in between the field, alongside the edge of the field, between it and the woods. And it was muddy. And I saw a strange print. It was not like a big print, like what you would think of as a Sasquatch footprint. It was more like just the upper part of it. And I took a picture of it, and then I outlined it, you know, with the iPhone where you can write on it with your finger.
Yeah, yeah.
I outlined it so that you could see it better, but I made the mistake of deleting the original one, so all I have is the altered one.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that, and I just didn't know what to think of that.
How far?
It's just too much.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's a lot. The whole thing is a lot. But how far a walk from your house is this, you know, fishing pond?
It's not very far. It's probably a good stone's throw or closer.
Okay.
And the field is further away. I mean, the field backs right up to the lake. But the part of the field where they saw this was further away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not very good at figuring out how much an acre is, but it was less than a football field. It was probably quite a bit. Maybe it was 50 yards.
Okay.
From where the boys were standing. And I had sent you photos, daytime photos, of where the boys were and their vantage point, even though it was daytime.
Mm-hmm.
And I had circled. Of course, people can't see that on the podcast, but I still have those if anybody wants to, if they would just like to envision the scene.
Did you notice anything else strange happen around your house at this time?
I don't think so. Not around the house. There was a little moment that kind of makes me stop and scratch my head, but it was during April. Now, this whole thing happened in early July,
mm-hmm.
but back up 2 or 3 months into April, and we had gone to an abandoned 1850s iron ore furnace. And again, Gabe had not ever heard anything about Bigfoot that I'm aware of. Or at least none to really speak of or, like, have an interest in. it's right beside the Green River, this iron ore furnace. And we were walking around there, and I saw something that looked like a, I thought maybe that's a deer nest. Back then, I had not even thought about the Bigfoot nest that I have since seen discussed.
Right.
So in my mind, I'm thinking, I wonder if this is a deer's little den. It looked like it was kind of like half of a bowl. Like if you would imagine Big Bird's nest.
Right, right.
Like that, but that kind of sideways and up against some large brush and some trees. So we saw that, and I didn't think anything of it. Looking back now, I wish I had taken a picture of it, but I didn't. And right then, shortly after we saw this, Gabe all of a sudden wanted to leave. We had spent a long time making our way out there. It was a long drive, and then it was a long hike through difficult terrain. But he all of a sudden, he's like, let's go. Let's go back to the van now. Let's go. Hmm. And I was like, okay, did something bother you? Is something wrong? He's like, no, let's just go. I want to go to the van now. You can stay here if you want, but I'm going to the van. Huh. So we left and went to the van, and I haven't been able to return to that place yet since then. And that may be nothing. It's probably just a coincidence, but you had asked if anything else strange had happened. And this was during a time when I had begun learning all about this sort of thing, learning all about this phenomena.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, my interest has peaked as soon as you say iron furnace because of how many experiences we've recorded around these old furnaces.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
wow.
Yeah, it's been an ongoing drumbeat for the podcast. I mean, there's a lot of the places we go, it turns out, had these iron furnaces there, including that Michaux Forest where we go. I've recorded a number of local, you know, Bigfoot witnesses and so forth. That place had 10 or more, I think, iron furnaces throughout the whole area of the forest. So, yeah, I don't know why, but they seem to be a thing with this stuff. So it's certainly, when you say iron furnace, you know, certainly gets my attention. Yeah, who knows? Who knows? Was Gabe able to go back to fishing, or was it kind of a thing where he was like, I don't know about that anymore? Not that night.
I had wondered what his reaction would be to that, too. The very next night, he wasn't back to fishing, but he was hanging out in a hammock between two trees right beside the lake, and that was it. Also, was right there on our property. This hammock, mm-hmm. And he and a different friend, were just in that hammock. I think they wanted to camp out in the tent overnight. And I found a big stone, or maybe it was a big brick. And I'm going to hell for this, but I took that brick and I snuck around. between some neighbors' houses, and I waited until they were quiet, and I launched that brick into that lake, and he didn't quite have the reaction I wanted him to have. I wanted him to scream, but they got really quiet, and he said, what was that? So anyway, that was fun. I tried to take advantage of his vulnerability.
No, it's good that he went right back out there. You know, I don't know that I would have at that age, especially.
Maybe with it being right there at the backyard, and it's not a great big backyard, maybe that was a comfort to him. Gabe just now came up alongside me now. He's here if you want to talk to him, or
if he'd like to describe what he saw, that'd be awesome.
Okay, are you okay if I put the phone on speaker?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Hello
Gabe, how are you?
Good.
So I'm very excited and jealous that you got to see what you saw, but if you could describe it, I'd like to hear about it.
Yeah.
So basically, it was just me and my friend out catfishing. It was about like 2 in the morning, wasn't it?
It was at 1 a.m. Yeah,
we're out at 1 a.m. We were catfishing around 1 a.m. and my friend Ace saw this shadow. It was like shadowy gray thing by the tree line, and it had, we thought it was like red eyes, but it looked like two red flashlights above it, and then like one like white orb under the two red lights. So basically what it was like a gray shadowy transparent thing with lights on it, and it was slowly going closer.
It was walking towards you.
I don't really know if it was even walking. It just seems like every time we looked away, it was either closer or like a little bit farther. But it seemed like almost like it was taking two steps forward and one step back.
Interesting. That's really interesting.
So pretty much it was just moving really slowly towards us.
Did it just disappear then?
I don't know. I don't even know if it disappeared. I don't remember. We were just out there looking at it, and then my friend Ace, he got scared, and he wanted to run back inside. And we didn't want to run because our house is where, like, closest to where our tree line was, and we were out fishing in front of my neighbor's yard. So we ran, like, back behind the houses and in front of the other houses so we didn't have to be back close to where it was.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of coming in through the back door, which would have backed up to the lake, they ran around and came in through the front door.
So did this thing scare you? Or was it more just you were interested in it?
At first, we were kind of curious to see what it was. But my friend Ace, he was like, I think we should go back inside. And then I agreed with him, and we left our stuff there to get later. Because I don't really know what we felt like. It was kind of scary, kind of nervous. I don't know.
Well, your mom said you were back out there again the following night, so you must not have been too scared.
I don't really know what I felt like. At first, Ace said he was nervous and he didn't want to go back out there. Did he? He said that, didn't he?
Yeah, you all didn't return out there that night. Y'all just stayed up in your room that night.
I took a video of it, and I couldn't see it on the video that I took of it. But I could see it whenever I was looking at it, like, without a video.
Yeah, that's normal. I've done that myself. Not with any creature, but with strange lights like that. I've tried to get them on video, and they either don't show up or they look different on the video.
It wasn't showing up at all on the video. It was kind of like if I looked at it straight on, I couldn't see it. I had to look at it from the corner of my eye.
That's also, again, this is something that I found to be true sometimes. That's sometimes these lights that we've seen in the woods are very much like that. Yeah.
I just... like a little bit to the side of it, and I could see it a lot better. But if I looked straight at it, I could only see like the reddish and orbish lights on it.
Now, did you see the body of whatever it was? Could you see that like outlined against the sky?
No, not really. It was just kind of like a blob of like grayness, and you could kind of see the outline of like a head. But it was, like, really, like, a sloppy drawing. If someone were to do a picture of it that was, like, exactly what it looked like, it would just be kind of sloppy.
Interesting. That's really interesting. So what do you think it was?
I don't know. I have no idea what it was.
That's an honest answer. Yeah. That's a weird one. Well, brave guy. Your mom said you went back out there the next night. We're hanging out. That's good. It's good to get back out there. You know, whatever it was didn't hurt you, so who knows what it was, but I assume you haven't seen it since.
No, I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember you and Chase the next night being in the hammock, and I went out there and threw the rock into the lake trying to scare you?
Yeah.
Gabe, thank you so much for sharing what you saw. Like I said, I think you're a lucky guy to get to see it.
Thanks for letting me come on here.
Sure thing.
Back to mom now.
All right. So, nothing since? Nothing strange since?
Let me think. I guess the main strange thing was when I saw Stan Gordon on that show with the reenactment of the creature holding the light.
Right.
I had never heard that's a really strange description. I mean, it's very random.
There's a couple.
So,
there's a couple. There's that one. There's one from, I believe, the Soviet Union. I want to say in the, maybe in the 70s as well, or maybe that was in the 80s, where a creature, I think it walked through a campsite holding an orb. So there's a couple of them out there like that, but they aren't common at all. They're very rare.
Yeah. Another small thing that isn't really a big deal, but one night I was going to go hit a drive-thru kind of late, around 9 o'clock, and I turned on a local radio station just right here in our town, and our town is very Bible-belty. Mm-hmm. There is almost never any talk of the paranormal or anything strange or woo that you would hear of being openly discussed here. But as soon as I turned on that station, they said, yes, tonight we've got Mr. Stan Gordon, who wrote whatever book or books he wrote. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's here to discuss Bigfoot tonight. So that really struck me.
Yeah. First of all, I love Stan. He's a great guy. And one of the people that I really look up to as far as all this stuff goes, because he doesn't shy away from reporting the strange stuff. If he just, whatever the witness tells him, that's what he reports. There are some other researchers that do not do that, that would take and for instance, they would take the light out of, you know, your son's report because it just sounds too weird, and they would report the other aspects of it. But Stan just takes it all down. I respect him, and every now and then I'll get a call from Stan, and it's a highlight of my day when he calls every time. He's a great guy.
Oh, I bet. I'm not saying it was that same night that I heard that on the radio that I saw the documentary where Stan was featured and showing the reenactment of what I just described.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but when I turned on that show, he was almost in the very first scene. Anyway, within the first 30 seconds or minute of the program, and I had never seen him before. And then there he was, and I was like, that's that guy! That's that name! That's that name of who I just heard on the radio! Or who I had heard recently on the radio. Something
right.
Like, it was weird.
Yeah, it seems like almost like a series of synchronicities around this that are just kind of pointing you, or, you know, or at least reminding you of this sighting again and again.
Ooh, now I haven't even thought of it like that. And I'm outside walking right now, and there is a huge orange low full moon tonight. So it's a little extra chilly, you know, little skin crawly.
What did Gabe think when you saw him, when you showed Gabe the reenactment footage? Was he pretty impressed by that?
Oh, yes. I recorded it. And I texted him the video that I had recorded of it. He said, that is pretty much what we saw.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, Leanne, this is a wonderful story. I'm most happy to hear that Gabe is, you know, went back out and got right back to it, because a lot of times, you know, grown men are too scared to go back out to the woods and stuff after the stuff happens, and it's kind of heartbreaking in a way, especially if people like outdoor activities, you know, and you can hear it in their voice sometimes that they just kind of were ruined for hunting or fishing or whatever they like to do by their encounter. So
yeah.
I'm super happy that didn't happen with Gabe. It's great to
hear.
Well,
me too.
Yeah.
Gabe is really obsessed with the outdoors, especially fishing. And I don't know that he would have gone out in the woods or alongside the woods where this thing was seen, but I suppose he just felt a little safer at the back of our backyard.
Right. Well, that's understandable, sure. Still, I think it's commendable for him to get back out there. That's a good thing. I'm glad he wasn't, you know, too scared by it. But it's, like I said, I think he's lucky. He's lucky to have seen it, because it's a very, very rare thing.
Yes, I wish I had seen it.
Yeah, I wish I had as well. From a safe distance.
I love taking in information about this, but I have never seen anything. I mean, I saw that TV show, but I've never seen anything in person. I've had a lot of audible weirdness that has happened to me, but I've never seen anything creepy with my eyes myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, on one hand, be careful what you wish for. On the other, I completely understand that. As far as Bigfoot goes, I've been kind of longing for a sighting, and I may regret that, you know, when it actually happens, but I've really, really, you know, I've caught, you know, flashes of movement, and I've caught what I'm pretty sure was eyeshine before, but as far as seeing, like, the body of a creature, I can't say for sure I ever have, and I'm kind of longing for that definite sighting where I can say, yep, that's what I saw, but...
Like, I understand that feeling. I understand that.
Yeah. But like I said, I might regret it when it comes. I've definitely taken some reports from people who are not super happy when they did get to see one.
Right. I think if I ever were to see one, I would want to experience it with Gabe. And number two, I would want it to be the female who tells the male that we're cool and not to kill us.
Right.
And
right. Right, or the pleasant sighting, or the very, very mild sighting. Rather than, yeah, some of these really intense ones from Sasquatch Chronicles. No, thank you. I'd rather not.
Right. Yeah.
Leanne, thank you so much for sharing your stories.
Thank you so much for letting me tell it.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
A little bit after we recorded the interview, Leanne contacted me. She sent me a message, and she said, "I remembered something else that might pertain to the strangeness surrounding the magical Bigfoot. For whatever reason, I don't remember, Gabe was sleeping in my room. I was sound asleep. It was around dawn. Gabe shook me to wake me up. He asked if I heard that. I said no. He said it sounded like a man was outside the window trying to sound like an owl. He said it did it a few times, and then it stopped. It woke him. Then Leanne also said, I think there's something he forgot to tell you in his account. He said right before his friend saw the thing, he remembers having heard a whistle sound or a hootish whistle. He didn't tell that in his account because it's just so hard to remember everything. So she asked me if I thought that mattered. Absolutely. Someone making owl sounds that aren't owl sounds outside your window. Yes, this is a Bigfoot thing, and this is a strange thing as well. So yeah, I think that weaves right in with the rest of her and Gabe's experiences. Very, very strange. Very interesting. Okay, next we're going to hear Chad interviewing Drayden at the site of his kind of Class B encounter. He had this kind of scary experience in Michaud. Chad recorded this almost 2 years ago. Why did it take so long for me to put this out?
That sounds like a very good question.
I simply forgot. So at the time, if you guys remember, we were working on a series that we were calling Through the Haunted Forest that was all of these Michaud encounters. And I put this in a folder labeled Through the Haunted Forest. Now, usually I have a folder of interviews on the computer that I can just see very easily, you know, what comes next, what interviews have I done, what interviews have been published already. This went into this Through the Haunted Forest folder, and it got lost, and I simply forgot. And I was looking through there for some reason this week, and I said, oh my gosh, we never did this interview. So here it is, a little bit late, but better late than never. And as I always say, there's no expiration date on these stories.
Again, you're falling into that idea that time is a linear concept. Exactly. And that this isn't happening simultaneously as we speak in another universe. Or maybe this one.
So I apologize to Drayden if you've been waiting to hear your story pop up on Strange Familiars. He says he's a listener in the interview too. So maybe he thought.
Maybe he used to be.
Yeah. Maybe he thought we didn't want to use it or something. I apologize, Drayden. It simply got lost. But here it is at last, the long lost on-site interview with Chad and Drayden at Michaud.
Hello, everyone. This is Chad Redding here. I'm out on an investigation here for Strange Familiars. I am in Michaud State Forest with, it's Drayden, right?
Correct.
And we're out here right now, and it's probably about, I don't know, 4:45, working on 5 o'clock,
yeah.
And it's already starting to get dark.
Mm-hmm.
And we're here to kind of, Drayden had an incident here happen here. And we're here to we're going to relive it a little bit. We're actually in the area. And you had said that you're not fond of being here by yourself now, correct?
No, and I'm not usually a scaredy cat with that stuff. It felt like a very uncomfortable situation where I wouldn't want to be put back in it. I haven't felt it anywhere else other than here, so.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'd rather.
So, we're at the end of Quarry Gap Road, which really isn't that far from the road. It's just it's a forest road that comes up above Caledonia.
That's what made it a little creepier too. Not even being close to civilization keeps you.
And we parked at the dead end because the road comes to a dead end, and we're on what's basically an old forest service road, which is now kind of a trail. It's called Locust Gap Trail. And you said about what time did this happen? Like, what time did you park your car and all that
Parked probably around lunch because I had just finished up. I usually eat before I go out on the trail, so it was definitely like 12 o'clock when I hit the trail itself. And then it was beautiful, normal day.
Yeah, and you said it was like June?
Yeah.
Or July?
July. It was beautiful July weather.
Awesome. Awesome. So it's nice and warm out.
Mm-hmm. Birds chirping, everything.
Sunny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you parked here at Quarry Gap, mm-hmm. and then you proceeded up Locust Gap.
Yep.
So we're walking up Locust Gap right now, and this forest actually has a good mix of secondary pine. So as I'm looking up the trail right now, there's not much good visibility on either side because of the low-hanging pine trees. But it is typical Michaud where you have a lot of mixed deciduous trees also. So you were just walking up the trail like this.
Okay. Got my bag. Didn't bring my dog that time. Just beautiful day. Nothing out of the normal.
Now, were you planning on spending a night, or were you just out for a day hike?
Just for a day hike.
Watch out.
Yeah. Just a normal day hike. I try to go at least once a week. So usually don't go into the woods expecting anything.
Now, did you have any odd feelings or anything before you started out that day? I mean, was it like a would you say it was a normal day?
Oh yeah, it was perfectly like just woke up, felt good getting out on the trail. It's like perfect day, like what you'd expect for like just perfection, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we kind of came out. It's a little more clearer here, so we got a little better visibility.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to ask you this. How's it feel being back? You said you don't come. Have you come back since then?
Not to this part of the park, that's for sure.
Okay, so this is the first time you've been back.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know why I feel comfortable in other parts of the park now. You'd think maybe the whole park would just feel like that, but
I don't know. That's typical of me.
It just didn't feel good.
I get it. I've had an experience myself, a couple actually, since I've been hanging with Tim.
Yeah.
And then I had a couple an experience myself, and it did take a good bit to go back to the area where I had it happen. So I totally understand. But you're good.
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah. We'll see.
we'll be all right, I think.
But yeah, pretty much where it happened then was right at the connection of the trails.
Where the AT and this trail joined.
I don't remember how far up it is.
Yeah, it's not really that far. I mean,
I remember it was pretty open. You know, at that part, you can see pretty well. In the
It's
spaced out enough.
So now, crossroads have a significance in some old religions, and in some what you would call magical practices. So now, does that mean anything? I don't know. So I have not heard your account yet.
Alright.
So this, what you're telling me is totally new to me, which is good.
Yeah.
So now the woods have kind of thinned out a little bit. We had mostly hardwoods. And this time of year, we got some good visibility, so.
And this is pretty much what happened.
Yeah.
I was chilling on that rock.
Okay.
Because I just, when I hiked up to this point, I stopped at the, where the laurel creates that tunnel.
Right.
I came back down.
So you were coming down.
Yeah.
You were coming back to the car.
Yeah, I made it. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I can tell you after it happened, I made a quick dart right back there.
Yeah, so we've traveled, I don't know, a little over a football field.
Yeah.
I'm a little over
a little out of shape.
So we're on the, we're basically on the intersection of the Locust Gap Trail and the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah.
So, go ahead, tell me what happened. So you said you were chilling on this rock, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had gone out, and you had come back. Now, what time of the day do you think roughly this was?
I know when I got to the Laurel Tunnel, I chilled there for a little, because I also went down to the little hunting cabin that remains are there.
Yeah.
And I... probably about 2 hours there, just chilling. So it probably takes us up to, 3 o'clock-ish?
Okay. When you were at the hunting cabin, or the remains of the cabin,
because
it's basically, I've been there myself, so it's basically a foundation with, remains of a roof
and
all this other stuff. Did you see anything weird there or have any?
I saw a deer, and that was about it.
That was about it.
Nothing else. Weird thing was, too, now, it was, a Thursday, but... middle of summer, I didn't see a single person out on this trail, too.
Yeah, which is kind of odd, because this is a popular trail.
I see people any time at night when I come out here, any day of the week, usually. So
I think a lot of it is kind of... it was Thursday.
Yeah. It was pretty coincidental. That's what made it even more unsettling, too. It's like, where's everybody?
Yeah.
I'm the only one who felt that happen.
All right, so you sat on the rock here. Go ahead.
Yes, on the rock, got out some snacks, started eating, and... like I said, sunny, birds chirping, you can hear squirrels running around. All that stopped, abruptly.
So it just...
it just stopped.
Dead silent.
Yes, and there wasn't even wind.
Wow.
Because it was fairly calm that day. And that's really weird, not hearing wind through the forest. It's pretty...
yeah.
At least
for me. You get moments like that.
Yeah. But with all the animals being gone, too, I was really like, huh, that is a weird... it's kind of weird.
Which way were you facing?
I was sitting on that rock, pretty much facing kind of that way.
So you were looking southbound?
Pretty much.
On the AT?
Like a scope of that.
So I'm going to kind of describe this area real quick. So, are you okay? You do look a little nervous.
I'm good.
All right. Okay. Where he's sitting on the rock, I mean, it is open. I mean, you're talking a good size clearing.
Yeah, the trees are thin, too.
You can see... it's... it, well... now.
I mean, even in the summer, these trees, because it's usually just...
Yeah, there's not a lot of undergrowth. No. But, you know, it's pretty wide. I mean, it's basically, yeah. it's a forest road. You could drive a car easily down here, and it's a T intersection, roughly. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, almost like a Y, I guess you could say. But anyway, so you're sitting on the rock.
Gets that dead silence.
Yep.
And that goes on for about a minute. So I'm just sitting there, feeling a little uneasy. And then the only way that I can describe it as is like when you catch a deer or a rabbit in your headlights.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I felt like. I was that rabbit or deer. And I just kind of like, whoa.
So you felt this overwhelming kind of presence.
Yeah, it felt like someone was staring at me and I couldn't tell where from. And it just was like a paralyzing kind of fear, I guess, which gotcha. I had never felt before in my life. It was the most uncomfortable feeling. I didn't know, should I leave? Do I stay? What do I call out? What do I do?
Right.
You know, like that kind of panicking mood. And like looking back on it, I don't know why I felt like that. It was just weird. And then shortly after that, and I can probably assume maybe it was another person, there was like a knocking noise, like sticks hitting like a tree pretty much.
Okay.
And the only reason I note that is because I've heard other things, but I don't really feel like I want to assume that. I just want to say it was other people because it's the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah, you don't know. Where were the knocking noises coming from? Were they behind you?
From that like direction right over there, because I heard it off to my right.
Okay, so we've been off to the right. There's no trails up that way. It's just woods.
Yeah, it sounded like if you were to take that stick and hit it against that tree.
Was like, it kind of a thunk or more of like a hollow, like a baseball bat crack, if that makes any sense? When I'm kind of like something
more
wet?
More like a hollow.
Okay.
Like a hollow, yeah. Because it echoed. It echoed. That's
true. Oh, so it was pretty loud then.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty. And I chopped it up to probably someone chopping something.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
I don't assume. I just thought that was. It was like the only noise after. This was going on for like 5 minutes of me just sitting there terrified towards the end of it. Because I want to say altogether it lasted 7 minutes. So right at that 7 minute mark, noise stopped. The chopping stopped. Birds came back. And I just got up.
Right.
I didn't feel safe here anymore. I still don't particularly feel safe. I don't like
it. Wow.
And I go out hiking still, like, every weekend. So it's not like I'm terrified of the woods now. It's just
this spot.
Yeah, it's not a comfortable vibe for me. And I've never felt scared like that before.
No, I get it. Yeah. I understand.
And I go, like, urban exploring. I go into, like, old asylums. I'd never felt that fear like I did here. And it's
wow.
a place I find comforting, or at least used to. because, like, hard work week, 50-hour week, I like to go out in the woods. It's relaxing. You don't meet too many people.
I totally understand that. It doesn't cost a lot of money.
No, it's basically free.
You didn't see any, like, lights.
No lights.
Or anything like
it
that.
Was,
I mean,
it was pretty bright.
It's
yeah,
still bright.
It's still...
But there's spots in the woods where it's dark. I was
yeah.
just wondering, or any just, other strange noises or anything like that.
Just your typical shadows from the sun going through the trees. That was pretty much it. No other noises. Didn't really think of it much after that.
Right.
And then I've watched your guys' podcast for a bit because I met you guys at a Comic-Con a couple of years ago. In Harrisburg.
You actually met Tim. I didn't start actually.
Oh, all right. I met Tim there.
Yeah, you met Tim. You've never met me. I'm basically new.
So, right.
Actually, me and Tim have been going out now, I think, since before July.
All right.
Cool.
So, yeah, well, I met Tim then, and that's when I started listening. I'm not necessarily, I don't deny. Like, I don't, like, oh, you're just, your story's bull, you know?
Or, right.
Because, like, myself, like, as much as I want to believe in ghosts, I also don't just go into a place like, hey, there's a ghost going to be here, you know?
Right.
So, like, I'm extremely skeptical. So, when I heard, like, the podcast for, like, the Michelle, is that how you pronounce it?
Michelle? Yeah, this is Michelle.
Like, I watched a couple of podcasts on it and other people's hearings of things, including the surrounding area. I was like, maybe something to do with what I felt. But at the same time, I'm still kind of, I'm pretty skeptical on it. But it was just, it's a fear... And a complete silence that is unnatural. It just felt unnatural.
Right. So, like, so basically, you were sitting here having a good old time.
Mm-hmm. Not expecting
all of a sudden,
anything.
All the animals just went dead quiet.
Gone.
And then you said it was a couple minutes of silence, and then all of a sudden you heard the
knocking. And it was like a boom, boom.
So it's pretty steady.
Yeah, there was like maybe a couple pauses in between. So it sounded like someone, if you were to be swinging your axe away, which like a boom, boom, little pause, boom, boom, like that kind of deal.
And so about two hits?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pause.
Pretty much.
Okay.
And like I said, it sounded just like someone could be chopping down a tree. It was echoing through the woods, probably got distorted.
Now, this is just your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel like, so you felt kind of a presence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then did it feel like kind of like a spirit, or did you think it was more of a physical presence? I mean, I'm just curious what your impressions are.
Definitely,
and there's no wrong answer for this.
Definitely more of like a physical. Like I felt like someone or something was staring at me.
Okay, I get you.
And like I've ran into bears in multiple like state parks around PA. I've never felt that feeling with bears, because usually if you leave them alone,
they let
you alone.
They're
not purposely going after you.
No,
they're not
going to
stand there and stare at you. They're going to, like, especially we have black bears, they're going to dart right back up the hill. They don't want to deal with
right.
us. So like I was like, well, it didn't feel like any like feeling I've ever had with bears before. Don't think we have any big game cats that would try and stalk me down.
Well, there are a lot of people, a lot of hunters, believe there are mountain lions have come back to Pennsylvania.
I've heard that rumor up north more, like in the Allegheny.
Well, believe it or not, they have found, believe it, on the Maryland line, right over the border, they have game footage, camera footage. So, and the thing is with mountain lions, now I'm not saying this was a mountain lion.
Yeah,
I'm just saying,
it just felt like
you'll never hear them. You'll never hear them
because
they're dead silent. And, you know, it's a cat.
Yeah.
And most of the time, they'll be coming up around behind you on a hike.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to be knocking on trees.
Yeah, I honestly couldn't even, like, you usually know, like, someone's staring at me. I can feel them staring at me from over here. I couldn't tell, like.
No, you didn't, you just knew there was something wrong.
Yeah, it felt like a fight or flight situation, and I wanted to do the flight situation and that, but I was just stuck in that paralyzed fear, and I try to give off like that tough guy attitude to my friends, and let me tell you, if they saw me in that state, they would have thought I was the biggest
baby. I am going to tell you now, just from what I had happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
I had a situation north of here on the AT, near the AT. I was on the very edge of this mountain range, South Mountain. I was up near Mechanicsburg area.
Mm-hmm.
I was out of Michelle, but I was in the same.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And when I had whatever it was, like howl or scream at me, it was almost like a combination of a howl and a growl. I tried to go towards it at first. Okay.
You are nuts.
Then when the second one happened, that's when I had in my brain, it's time to leave or it's going to mess me up.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand when you have that, it was like almost, it wasn't like fear. It was just like, it's time to go now.
Yeah.
And that was the feeling I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally understand. So.
Yeah, whenever that part where
we'll walk on back down here.
Whenever it came to me wanting to like leave, it wasn't like let me take my time. It was like an instant switch from scared to you need to get out. Get out.
So when you left, when you had the feeling to leave, basically you said the birds
all everything came back.
The animals started back up.
Yeah.
And then that's when you had
that was the flight.
The flight.
Yeah.
So it was almost like you were kind of like frozen, you could say, almost in a bit.
Pretty much. I don't know if me personally, I didn't want to move because I didn't know it was staring at me. Or I was just so taken back by the feeling.
Right.
I guess you could say frozen in fear. I've never frozen up like that before. Like I said, I think personally I've had my own experiences with spirit things, like in the asylums and stuff. I've gone down to a few in Maryland. But never have I felt a, oh my God, frozen kind of, you know, deal. Guarantee if I was talking at that point, my voice would have been all jittery and because it was, I've never been terrified. I don't know how words to explain it. And then the rabbit or deer in the headlights situation.
No, that it makes sense to me. It makes sense to me.
Yeah, it just, wasn't a good feeling. And it was scary too, because like I could, if there was something staring at me that would have caused me to feel that way, it had to have been something big, or at least big enough to like screw me up, you know?
Right.
Because humans have adapted to not going to be feel too threatened by a snake. I'm not going to freeze up from a snake.
Well, some people would.
Yeah. Me personally, no. I just was looking around. I couldn't see anything that would. And it's bright as day. Well, because it was the middle of the day in the summer.
Now, when I had my experience, it was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah. I just didn't like that.
Watch these rocks here.
Yeah.
So we're walking back down to the car. And like I said, this is a short walk. I mean, it wasn't five minutes.
Yeah, no, I was at the end of my trail. I was in my trip. Wanted to take a quick break on the trail. I like to sit outside of my car usually, instead of being in the car. But yeah, I mean, I've never felt like this happened over by the reservoir and any other park that I've been to around PA. Now, I've heard weird things, but I chalked it up just to weird animal noises. Not here, other than that feeling.
Right.
Because I personally, humans like to think we're a lot smarter than we are and think we know everything. I feel like we really don't know what's all out in these woods.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, and I've said this quote before, there's a famous woodsman.
Might have to turn on the flashlight.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You can turn the flashlight on.
Ooh, that is.
His name is Horace Kephart.
Uh-huh.
And he basically says, in the school of the woods, there is no graduation day. Meaning, don't ever think that you know everything. Because when you do...
Oops, that's me. Sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, he just kind of bumped into some
leaves. I scared myself there.
Into some limbs. Just when you think you know everything, uh-huh, that's when you find out you don't.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I feel like... I kind of want to believe in, like, the whole Bigfoot thing, too, but I'm just extremely skeptical on that. Like, why haven't we found anything? Or, like, real... Maybe I haven't researched into it enough, because, like, I'm kind of skeptical on that myself, so maybe I'm not the best using that as an example.
Right.
Like, I feel like we'd have something, but then again, I also feel like maybe we don't, just because we don't understand what the hell is going on.
Right.
Like... How do I explain what that just happened? I don't know. I don't know what the hell happened.
Well, there's a lot of school of thoughts, and I personally don't think it's an ape in the woods.
I doubt that. It's just when I was reading other people, it's like, maybe. Doubt it.
To me, there's the caloric intake for something that big that's supposed to be as smart as it is,
uh-huh,
to do what it can. They would have to have taken tons and tons and tons of calories.
Yeah.
And
we would have a body.
Agreed.
We'd have a body.
So I'm kind of... It's something else. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to sit here and say I am, because believe me, I'm far from, you know... There's a lot more people that are more educated on this stuff than I am.
Yeah, I'm nothing. I mean, I like to believe... I like to go on my own little explorations of so-called haunted places. But, like, when it comes to, like, I guess, what would we call crypto? What's
cryptids.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I think it's probably something...
Or a person? I don't know.
Spiritual that can manifest in different ways.
Because there's a lot of history up in these woods.
Oh, you have no idea. To be honest, this place, at one time, if you would have looked at it, looked like a desert.
Yeah, I was actually...
It was stripped.
Last year, I had enrolled in Penn State Mont Alto for a short period.
Yeah,
and we learned about
an iron furnace there, too.
We learned about... We saw pictures. This place was stripped clean of all the trees.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. And it wasn't until the late 1800s, early 1900s.
Yeah.
So... All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah, I haven't told anybody other than Tim, right?
Yeah, Tim. And like I said, this is the first time I heard this, and you know, I hope this helped you a little bit.
A little bit. I don't know if I feel more comfortable coming back in the day still and reworking myself back into it. It just, you know, isn't on my list of trails I want to walk in.
Right.
Found any charcoal from any of these mills around the area?
Oh, there's charcoal everywhere in this area.
Yeah, I collect it whenever I find it.
There's also slag glass.
I haven't found any of that.
Oh, yet. There's plenty. You just got to know what you're looking for.
Right.
So, I was talking to Drayden a bit as we were driving back. If you hear any
any
traffic behind us is because we're actually back at the parking spot here at the old Iron Furnace in Caledonia. And he was telling me that he actually had some experiences in Pandemonium.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wouldn't mind giving me that story.
This one's honestly a lot more easygoing for me personally. I didn't feel as terrified, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like something was about to kill me. Almost. I don't know. I don't know what to feel of it still. But what we, me and some buds, it was probably around 11 o'clock at night when we finally got up to it. And we went into the Pioneer Cemetery there.
So you drove up to Tuscarora State mm-hmm. Forest and yep. went to Pandemonium. And so when was this? Like,
Spring. I don't remember, though, what month specifically.
Was it this year?
Yeah, it was this
year. Okay. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
This was actually the second time we were up. But the first time was just because our friend's a history buff and he wanted right. to go around. So we weren't doing anything there the first time. But this time around, we were just walking around, kind of listening. There were some noises, but it was probably deer. We saw a lot of deer up there when we were there. So we ignored pretty much all that. But we were just standing there. I was recording, and I don't necessarily think the recording caught it all.
Now, were you doing audio recording?
Or we were video recording, because I was originally recording it for... I want to start like a quote-unquote haunted series where I go to certain places and try to debunk or prove,
gotcha.
I guess is the term. But anyway, so we were there, and... We're dead quiet. No one's heavy breathing.
No wind.
No wind. It was actually a perfect night.
Yeah, and we're just feeling.
We just hear. So like an almost...
An inhale and an exhale.
Yeah, like, really you know, like when your parents caught you doing something, they don't say anything. There's
like a sigh.
Yeah, like a sigh. It was a sigh. A disappointed sigh. That's what it sounded like. And we're like, whoa. And we're like, was that you? And I was like, no, it wasn't me. And it was like, well, it wasn't me, and it wasn't him. And, like, our friend Sam was like, dude, what the heck was that? And we were like, let's just get back to the car. And Sam was already well gone before us, so it scared him. And it wasn't, it was just kind of like a jolt, I guess, of, whoa, we weren't ready for that. But we weren't feeling threatened, but we quickly ran back to the car.
So where did it come from in the cemetery? Like, because there's two entrances. There's one in the front where mm-hmm. you park, and then there's one in the back. And when you go through the back entrance, you're actually in the heart of the town.
Hmm.
So what? Where do you think it came? Which way were you facing towards?
All right. So there's the parking lot, and you know that little, I forget what it was. Is it just a rock or an altar or something? It has a bunch of toys on it.
Yes, that's supposedly the grave of a slave girl.
Okay.
And then people leave offerings there.
Okay. So we were. At the group of tombstones within the
inside the cemetery,
yeah, nearest to that area where the
corner.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And were you facing up the mountain?
Yes, we were looking straight up.
Okay, and where did the noise come from?
It came like it sounded like directly behind us on our necks. Like we didn't wow. feel anything, but it was that close. It was so
kind
close.
Of from the dead center almost of
yeah,
the cemetery behind
us. So. It was weird, that was for sure.
Now, did the feeling change at all? Because you said, you had told me, like, when you got there, it felt kind of peaceful.
Mm-hmm. It stayed peaceful. It stayed okay. peaceful. But we were now, like, we should
you
go.
You guys were
we
shook
should,
up.
We should go back to the car. It was nothing like what I felt with here on that trail okay. here. It was nothing like that. It was very, like, chill still. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for that second yeah. story. That's very interesting to us.
Yeah.
You know, we had a lot happen to it, and like I said, I know you probably haven't heard it yet, but...
Yeah, no, I didn't even know you guys filmed anything there.
No, we did audio, and yeah, you need to listen to that.
I definitely will
put
be,
things
yeah.
in perspective for you. So, okay, well, thank you for that one too, buddy.
Yep.
I appreciate it. Mm-hmm.
You know, Drayden said when he was there, he didn't have his dog with him. If he had had his dog with him, his dog would have alerted him to whatever that was in the woods, whether it was Bigfoot or something else.
And then also, at this point, do you know how many times he could have trained him?
To be a perfect puppy?
To be a perfect puppy.
Yes, yes.
Don't make me do the math, but it's quite a few months.
Exactly.
He could probably do it quite a few times by now.
I'm not sure if they have a specific training to treat your dog to alert to Bigfoot at 90 days of the perfect puppy.
You know they do.
But they might take that on for you. They can help you with mouthing and biting issues, with potty training issues, fear and nervousness, barking. If your puppy's chewing on furniture or shoes or other things they shouldn't be chewing on, they can help you with crate training, hyperactivity issues, leash training, and more. 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy, which you can find at sithappens.us. Look for the 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy link at the top of the page. They can teach you what to do and also, perhaps more importantly, what not to do. 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy has a relationship-based approach that helps you and your puppy become perfect for each other. They have online sources like video lessons, a secret Facebook group, and of course, one-on-one options are available. Again, you can find them at sithappens.us. Look for the 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy link at the top of the page. You've pirated my curiosity of the week over to the other side of the table.
Yeah, I was trying to just thumb through it randomly, and whatever I stop on, I just wanted to read what that dream was.
Well, why don't you read the cover first and tell everybody what the curiosity of the week is.
Instructive, elevating, inspiring, a dictionary of 1,000 dreams, visions, predictions, etc. Wisdom, comfort, advice, and warning. It's got everything.
So this is a dream book. I think it's from the 1940s.
Yeah, the picture on the front, which has Satan speaking into sort of a Merlin-like guy's ear while a busty Edwardian woman oversees all that's going on. Okay, so I'm going to randomly page through, and whatever dream thing I come to, I'm going to read.
Okay.
That's going to be my...
So this is a dream dictionary. This is a really thick, like a digest-size book of dream interpretation, but there's more in this book besides. But okay, you tell me.
Okay, and you know that I wouldn't like try to find one that's super cool or super lame or something, that I would just, whatever I came to. So I came to this one, and it's for lightning. To see lightning is a divine warning to apply yourself more to the study of nature and order of things in nature. I think that's wise wisdom. I'm going to do one more because this is fun.
Okay.
Paint. Do you ever see, I don't remember seeing paint.
In your dream?
In my dreams, yeah.
I'm sure things have been painted in my dreams.
Well, it depends on what color they've been painted. If they're painted black, it's, you know.
A Rolling Stones song?
No. It's grief or Brian Jones floating in a pool.
Wow.
Back to the paint. Blue means friendship. Brown means courage. Gray means sincerity. Green means affection. Red means beware. White means love. And yellow means contentment.
Okay.
So I'm wishing you a ton of yellow paint tonight.
Yellow paint.
Do you dream of pancakes?
No, I don't dream of pancakes. Give me this. Getting too distracted. So it's a big, thick dream dictionary, one of these dream books that they used to print. You know, you used to be able to buy them at drugstores and stuff. It has weather predictions in it, key number combinations, numbers that harmonize. Then it gets into the whole dream dictionary alphabetically. Whatever you dream of, you can look it up. And then in the back, it has... directions for fortune-telling cards, and it's got like some poems throughout and so forth. A dictionary of 1,000 dreams, visions, predictions, etc. Might be worth it for the cover alone. If you go to the show notes under this episode at strangefamiliars.com, you'll see an image of this book. If you click on that, it'll take you to our Etsy shop where you can purchase this and other curiosities of the week, as well as Strange Familiars t-shirts. They will be restocked soon. We will have every size in again soon, but right now we do have, I think, small, medium, and maybe 2X right now sizes, but we will be getting restocked soon. We'll soon have every size, and I think I'm going to try to do a new design for long sleeve shirts as well.
You get to that point after you've ordered so many t-shirts where you're like left with like a youth large and a pink sleeveless shirt. Got to restock.
Also in our Etsy shop, artwork, I will be adding some new originals soon enough. I've done quite a few because of this project, this other project I'm working on, which I will hopefully be able to announce very soon. I've got all of my books are there on Etsy, including my art books, Apparitions, Illustrations of the Other, and the booklet, Monsters Under the Hospital Bed. Art prints and more. You check it out. Our shop name on Etsy is Lost Grave, one word. But if you type in Strange Familiars, our stuff should come up. While you're on Etsy, make sure to check out Karmic Garden. They have Strange Familiars and Flannel Man scents with things like soaps and hand sanitizers and candles and all kinds of great stuff like that. Check them out. And Chad is on Etsy as well. His shop is Ruck Rabbit Outdoors. We will be doing a show on Halloween. We will drop it on Halloween. That'll be for everybody. So that's a bonus for everybody. It's going to be Strange Familiars and a certain other podcast with whom we're friendly. So that's going to be a joint.
Joint.
A joint episode there. A joint joint.
Mm-hmm.
So look for that on Halloween. And then we'll be back to our regular shows shortly thereafter. I'm thinking I might take Thanksgiving week off this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
No. Are you cooking?
No. But in November, if I do take that week off, then we will still do the two episodes for patrons. So patrons will still get two exclusive episodes.
You know you're going to end up just doing a show anyway.
We'll see. We'll see. I'd like to think I could take a week off for Thanksgiving and then maybe... We'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe one for Christmas as well, but we'll see.
But we always do a special Christmas episode.
We do.
I know we would do that anyway.
Yeah, we do a Christmas episode, which I'm not sure what that's going to be this year, but we'll
see. We're entertaining ideas.
Yeah, exactly. We're always entertaining ideas. If you have stories of encounters, we are booked for interviews pretty much through January 2022 at this point. But if you have a Bigfoot encounter, I will make an extra day for you, or perhaps a flannel man, or perhaps a bunny man, or I will make exceptions. I will squeeze people in if I can. But as to that, I have to say once again, I spent today working on email from 8:30, 8:45 a.m. until 4 p.m. and didn't make a dent in it. Did not make a dent in the Strange Familiars email. It's just, I literally was barely just scratching the surface of it and stopped to take a phone call from Chad, talked to Chad for 20 minutes, came back, there were six new emails. That's what we're talking about. That's the kind of volume we're talking about in the Strange Familiars email. I do read them. I can't respond to everybody. I try. I don't want anybody to think I'm rude. But if you have encounters, if you can send them to strangefamiliarspodcast@gmail.com, I know details are important with this stuff. I absolutely agree. But if you can give like a bullet point list, just hit the bullet points. I saw Bigfoot in 1996. After that, I saw Flannel Man. And 2 weeks ago, I rode in a UFO. Whatever it is, whatever it is, if you just kind of give me a bullet point.
That person would get bumped to the front, wouldn't they?
Oh, heck yeah. But we can get into the details on the podcast. Just give me a bullet point list. And if I don't reply to you, it doesn't mean I didn't like your stories. It doesn't mean I didn't see your stories. It
doesn't mean you won't reply.
Exactly. It just means the email is just, it's a swamp and I'm doing my best with that. We love getting your encounters. We love talking to our listeners. And yeah, if you have ideas for shows otherwise, you know, if you don't have an encounter, but you have an idea for us to, a story you think we should cover or a idea for our Christmas show, whatever that may be.
I'd love to hear some more regional stories. Like, you know, I feel like we're in one particular area, and so we focus on the area in which we live, but there's lots of weird stuff going on all over the world.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All of that said, we will be back soon with another episode of Strange Familiars. Strange Familiars is a production of Dark Holler Arts, music, books, art, podcasts, and more. Intro and background music is by Stone Breath. You can go to stonebreath.bandcamp.com if you want to hear more or purchase music by Stone Breath, or purchase the Sly Bold Ranodyne episode, or very soon, episode 300, The Witch Cloud. They are also on Stone Breath Bandcamp. Strange Familiars is on Facebook, facebook.com/strangefamiliars, where you can join the Strange Familiars Gathering Group. We are on Instagram. You can find us there at Strange Familiars, one word. And you can always find us on the web at strangefamiliars.com. Thank you.
will sing to me.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.